You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. You can find us at...
Good morning, Waterloo Region. It is Monday. This is CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. We're listening to Slip Away by D. Marvan, a new single he's released. He's from London.
They're telling me to make no mistakes. I'm wishing I could just slip away. They're telling me to make no mistakes. I'm wishing I could just slip away. When the pressure is on, think I'm taking it too far every time.
Every time.
Doesn't matter if I do what they say. Cause luck ain't on my side either way. Keep on going, don't stop till I make it up top. Cause I know I'll be fine. I'm wishing I could just slip away. I even get up here,
huh?
I mean, like, where am I? Is it somewhere near?
Where?
The place I'm looking for, cause I've been seeing crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
Please tell me what I wanna hear. Guess I ain't lucky, guess you all got me. That's just what I've gotta deal with. And you thinking this is funny? Let's see who gets the last laugh. I switch on my lanes, now I'm headed on the right track. They're telling me to make no mistakes.
No mistakes.
I'm wishing I could just slip away. When the pressure is on, think I'm taking it too far every time.
Every time.
Doesn't matter if I do what they say. Cause luck ain't on my side either way. Keep on going, don't stop till I make it up top. Cause I know I'll be fine. I'm wishing I could just slip away. No luck, no safety. Pull that trigger, then I go down. I go down. No one can save me. I've been doing this on my own. On my own. Luck ain't even lucky. I'm grinding for the money. I wish that time would stop for me, but I ain't getting nothing. I'm working by my lone. So many ways to go. And things are getting tougher,
yeah,
but I won't
yeah.
be the runner. Don't stop it for a second, ain't no way I'm going under. I've gotta keep control.
Woo.
I've gotta keep
yeah.
control.
Ay, ay.
They're telling me to make no mistakes.
No mistakes.
I'm wishing I could just slip away. When the pressure is on, think I'm taking it too far every time.
Every time.
Doesn't matter if I do what they say.
What they say.
Cause luck ain't on my side either way. Keep on going, don't stop till I make it up top. Cause I know I'll be fine.
That's D. Marvan from London, brand new single called Slip Away. I have in the studio with me Shiv Talwar from the Spiritual Heritage Education Network. Good morning, Shiv.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good, thank you. You've got something planned.
Yes, we have a conference coming up. In previous years, the conference were in person. It used to be at the University of Waterloo for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. This year, it'll be a virtual conference on Zoom, and it'll be 2.5 hours on 4 consecutive weekends. Yeah. So it'll be 10 hours instead of 16 hours in person. I guess 2.5 hours on 1 day of virtual conferencing is enough to tire people out.
Okay. We'll have to get into that in a bit more detail. I also want to introduce Robin LeBron Anders. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
And you're
Good morning, Shiv.
Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Great.
You're involved in the conference too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am, yes.
Yeah.
We're excited about it.
We need a little bit more information. First of all, about the Spiritual Heritage Education Network. Shiv, you've been doing this since, what, 2000 or so?
Yes. In 2000, it became a legal entity. Actually, the work has started long earlier. Then we made, applications for incorporation and stuff like that, and charitable organization. It took us a few years. And 2000, September 15th, it became a legal freestanding entity. Mm-hmm. And we'll be celebrating the 20th year of the Organization of Spiritual Heritage Education Network this September.
What is it that you hope to accomplish with SHEN, Spiritual Heritage Education Network?
Well, what we want to accomplish is the purpose of the upcoming conference.
Mm-hmm.
We are making a proposal to re-envision education of the future. The education of the past has been too divisive. So worldwide, people feel fragmented. We are not a human family. Hmm. Instead of being human family, we are this, that, and the other, all in perpetual conflict. And I think that has to end.
And you think this conflict is being taught in schools?
It's not being taught in school, but it has not been prevented either. Because the educational system does not talk about one humanity at all. Education system doesn't talk about our commonalities. It only talks about our differences. And that emphasis on differences does not help unite humanity. I think we have to talk about our differences and also our commonalities. And we are living on the same planet. We are created by the same reality, whatever you may like to call that reality. You may want to call it God. You may want to call it spirit. You may want to call it energy. You may want to call it by any name that you choose. But it is the same reality that makes me exist and that makes you exist and that makes a yellow person exists and that makes a black person or a white person exist. So who is superior and who is inferior? There is none. I think the bigotry of us versus them has to go. That is, and we have to do something proactively to make it go.
And that's the conference.
That is what the conference will be discussing. Right. The conference will be discussing a proposal that we want to make to educational policy makers of the world to re-envision education in the light of our one humanity.
Now, in the past, this has been an in-person conference.
This is in the back, yes. Yeah. That's been in-person. We were learning from each other. I didn't have the language that I have now developed because of the learning that I got from the previous conferences. And because of the enrichment of the previous conferences, we are here at a juncture now that we can talk about it coherently. And I think we can present it in the form of a formal proposal to be considered by educational policymakers.
The conference was scheduled to have taken place this past weekend.
It is going to be on the 26th starting, 26th Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12:30 Eastern Time. And the following weekend, it'll be on Sunday again, 10 to 12:30 Eastern Time, and then Saturday and then Sunday again, four consecutive weekends. Alternating between Saturdays and Sundays, mm-hmm. same time, 10 o'clock to 12:30 10 o'clock in the morning to 12:30 afternoon.
And so normally the conference would have taken place over a single weekend.
Normally that's the way it was.
And
we're not living in normal times.
These are not normal times, no. In fact, there's probably some justification for turning to spirituality to make us get through these times.
I guess it helps, and I think technology helps too. Our in-person conference was attended mostly by people in North America,
mm-hmm.
but this conference is virtual. It is going to be attended by people in England, people in India, and people here, at least three countries I know, they are the people who have registered in the conference.
So there's actually been some benefit.
That benefit that we are now talking globally because of technology.
Who all is presenting at these events? We've got 4 days. It can't be just you standing up on stage speaking.
You see, there are going to be 2.5 hours each on 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
On every day, I will be speaking for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Robin will be speaking after me, and then there will be discussion for about an hour. And there will be some time for break and people getting coffee and going to the washroom. So 2.5 hours total.
Okay.
Per day. About half the time you can say presentations, but between I and Robin, and the other half for discussion. And the discussions will be led by two young people, and Robin, and I will be the one, because I wrote the proposal, because I authored it, I got to present it, because no one else can.
Right.
No one else. People can, but they have to read up and then present. Whereas because I authored it, I know every word that I wrote.
Right. Robin, can you give us a hint of what it is that you'll be presenting?
Well, basically, I will sort of jokingly call myself the interpreter. I mean, Shiv's head is so filled with just incredible information, and he's been studying this for years and years and years, and sometimes when he gets rolling, that the information is so deep. In fact, that's how I ended up coming up with a student version of his book, because the information is just incredible, but it's so rich and deep and heavy that not everybody can absorb it. And so I kind of teased him and I said, well, you know, it's who's going to be your target audience? We decided it would be the professors that are teaching these courses in college or whatever. And I said, you need to make a version for dummies. And he kind of laughed and then called later and said, well, why don't you do that? So I took his, you know, dissertation, his 800-page dissertation, mm-hmm. and turned it into a smaller book that the average person could try and comprehend. So at the conference, when he gets done with his presentations of the various concepts, then I'm going to just kind of try and re-explain it in a nutshell in words that other people that aren't as heavily into the science and metaphysics and stuff that they'll be able to understand and absorb as well. I mean, that's the whole issue, isn't it? Trying to teach concepts that are unusual to students. We have to be able to learn to communicate these in basic terminology that the average person can absorb and understand.
Mm-hmm. Shiv's book is called The Common Ground, A Unified Basis of Existence, and that's Volume 1.
Yes.
So there is more to come.
Yes, Volume 2 is coming. Volume 1, what I have been able to do is study the various scriptures of the major religions of the world, and then come up with, I found that they all were talking the same language. If you go to the metaphysical parts of the scripture consists of metaphysical truths, and it also consists of explanations which tend to be culture-specific and language-specific. So I took the wisdom that is common in different scriptures, and that went into the Common Ground Volume 1. And I find that they all converged in their wisdom, and they also cohere with the science. So physics and metaphysics, they cohere with each other. So the convergence of physics and metaphysical wisdom of the scriptures is a scriptural science that applies to the whole universe. And whether you are a believer in God or not, that is up to you. Which God you want to believe in, which church you want to go to, that's up to you. But there are some basic truths that apply to the whole humanity, and that's what we are concerned with. And that science is applicable. The second volume is going to be the application of the spiritual science, which is holistic in nature, applicable to the whole universe, how you apply it so that people live in coherence and they can achieve their purpose of existence as they see it.
Your book has been lauded in literary circles, but it's not aimed at an average audience, is it? But what sort of audience did you have in mind, or what sort of audience do you think will be benefiting from your book?
I think the whole world will benefit from the work that Robin and I are doing. It is meant for life. It is not meant for people who are not alive. And those people who are not alive, we got to wake them up. And that waking up is to the common humanity.
Is this something that's educators at, say, a university level would use as source material?
Education university level can use, but this material that we have written can also be used, and the practices that we are talking about can also be used at the primary school level. You know, when people write books, when new science emerges, first it starts at the university level, and then it percolates downwards. You know, people find easier ways of explaining things, and that's what will happen. That is what the educational communicators do.
It seems that an 800 book volume one, or an 800 page volume one, is probably a bit more than I would foist on a primary school student.
I think this is a little overstatement. It's not 800, it's about 400 pages.
Okay. And Robin, you've distilled this into something that's a little bit more universally accessible.
Yes. I mean, it's still a little bit, you know, there's quite a bit of science and biology and metaphysics and physics, and it's going to be for the person who really wants to dig in deep. The purpose of the conference is to try and take all this powerful information and find a way to present it so that we can teach even, you know, like elementary school children about how to use this spiritual energy they have in their bodies to heal themselves, and how to accept the fact that the energy that they have in their body is exactly the same as the energy of the little black child that sits next to them in school, and they truly aren't as different as they think they are. I mean, these are the concepts that we're trying to hone down into bite-sized thought processes so that we can teach it in school. And so the proposal will be to try and get that approved in some form of curriculum, and then the next project would be to try and actually create the curriculum. And I have made some sample curriculum slides and stuff that we're just using to show people what it might look like, but it is a process.
I'm looking at the Spiritual Heritage Education Network website, and there's not a great deal of information that looks to be aimed at educators specifically. This is an invitation, I think. The website is an invitation to meet up with you, Shiv, and enjoy your workshops.
Well, enjoying the workshops is one thing. I teach a workshop in using our body and mind to get under the control of the survival instincts that keep us divided. And it is those instincts are natural, they're built into us, and those survival needs, they are so compulsive that they are divisive in nature. So how you handle your survival instincts so that they calm down, they calm your mind, and they calm your body, and with the calm mind, calm body, then you can think deep, and you can learn better. And that's a practice that I teach. That's a workshop that I give. It has got overtones of spirituality, because spirituality means doing something with full consciousness, whereas survival instincts are automatic. They creep up on you without our knowledge and awareness. So once we start taking control of things that creep up on us stealthily, without our awareness, they start controlling us rather than we being in charge of our lives. So that is a practice that is what I teach.
Right.
I give workshops about it every Monday.
Yeah, which is a little bit different from the focus of the conference.
No, it's not different.
No?
It is the practice.
So the conference is more the theory aimed at
conference is more than theory, yes.
Okay.
And conference is about more than theory, right. Also practice. How do you practice to raise your consciousness, to connect with whole humanity? The consciousness that we have right now, through our survival instincts, keeps us separated from each other, keeps us in conflict with each other.
Okay. I think I would like to hear a quick sample of your workshop. If you can put yourself into a space where we can experience, you know, a quick little workshop on the air here, then I'd like to see that. So what I'd like to do is switch to a bit of music. This is Coolus, his new album, Hostages. And when we're done that, I'd like to come back with you, Shiv, and have you take me through a few minutes of a workshop.
Sure.
Is that good?
Sure, I'll do that.
All right. So music first, Coolus, this is Hostages.
You've been listening to Cool Us from the album Hostages, but the first track we heard was Kids, and we're now listening to Royal Blue. I have Shiv Talwar from the Spiritual Heritage Education Network in the studio with me, and Robin LeBron on the telephone. I've asked Shiv to host, to conduct a brief workshop, as he does every Monday on Zoom, to do what, Shiv? What will I get out of this?
What I want to do is show you how to breathe better, okay? And what is wrong with the way we breathe normally? The way we breathe normally, we're breathing at roughly 15 breaths per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And when you breathe that fast, you take in very little air into your lungs. Our lungs got a capacity of 6 liters of air.
Hmm.
6 liters of air. Imagine, that's about a gallon and a half.
Yeah.
And out of that, 1 liter must be in our lungs at all times. So that means we can breathe in 5 liters of air and we can breathe out 5 liters of air. They'll still leave that 1 liter reserve capacity in the lungs. If we expel that, then we'll be dead in no time at all. Lungs will collapse.
Yes, yes.
They don't have 1 liter of air. Normally, when we breathe at 15, 16 breaths per minute, we are breathing at about half a liter of air. That is 10%, 10% of the capacity of one breath.
Hmm.
Okay. Because we are breathing so fast, you know, lungs are like bellows. If you move them too fast, it's going to suck in too little of air and then expel it. Too little, expel. And that is what we are doing. And at that way, we are not supplying ourselves with enough oxygen. It's a physiological thing.
Okay.
And if I take in 3 liters of air per breath, but I only breathe 3 breaths per minute, I'll be doing myself a favor by supplying myself with maybe 3 or 4 times as much oxygen as I would normally breathe.
So breathe deeper,
breathe
but
deeper,
slower.
But slower. And with 3 liters of air going into my lungs are in my chest cavity. Chest cavity is enclosed by ribs, which are bones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The lungs are like balloons. They want to expand when I put 3 liters of air in. And there's no room in expansion of the lungs in my chest cavity. So the expansion will happen in the abdominal cavity. So when you breathe deep, the air will go. So you will feel as if the air is going into your belly. So that is what you have to do, Bob, if you sit up straight.
Okay.
So that your lungs and belly can move freely. And and breathe with me slowly. I'll breathe making a sound. Maybe you can hear my sound breathing.
Okay.
I'm very close to the microphone here. I'll shut up and I'll just breathe. Okay. I'm going to breathe in. Breathe with me, Bob.
Okay.
Every breath should expand your stomach as much as you can.
Expanding the stomach.
Expanding the stomach.
Okay. Let me breathe in.
Breathe in until your stomach is expanded.
Mm-hmm.
And now breathe out, and the stomach will shrink. So you sit up straight so that the free movement of the stomach and the lungs are permitted.
It's making me a little giddy.
In the initial stages, yes, you will feel giddy because your body is not used to that much oxygen. And you will feel lightheaded.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
And if you breathe like this for 10, 15 minutes, your body and mind are so calm and you are connected with your mind. Your mind will not be distracted. and then you can focus. And when you can focus on your thought, then you have control on your life.
I'm concentrating so much on the mechanics of breathing that I don't think this is very relaxing at all.
In the beginning, that's the way you will feel. Because when you're doing deep breathing like this, you have never done it in your life. The habit is to breathe automatically. So, and your habit is, you know, you're addicted to normal breathing, and you have to give up something that you're addicted to because of the way you've been doing it that way all your life. And it may not feel very calming in the beginning. Ideas will come, why am I sitting down here like this and doing nothing and just breathing? I can be doing this and I could be doing that, and there'll be all kinds of distractions coming to your mind.
Yeah.
But
this is
if you do it for 10, 15 minutes, you then will experience the calm. You then will experience the peace within yourself. And the peace within yourself will be reflecting out in the world with peace in the world.
Is this something that needs to be done in a quiet environment, drapes closed and sounds turned off?
Exactly. It has to be done in a quiet environment in your room where you are there by yourself, no cell phones, no TVs, and do your breathing like this for 10, 15 minutes and see how calm you are. And if you do it for 1 week, you will see, even your friends will say, what are you doing that has changed you?
It's that profound a difference, is it?
That profound a difference it will make in your life.
Incredible, incredible. I'm thinking that taking 15 minutes out of my really busy schedule is next to impossible.
That is the whole problem. Our survival instincts keep us running like crazy. They keep us activity-oriented. So we breathe faster, our heart beats faster, our blood circulates like crazy, our blood pressure goes up high, our heart gets tired and develop disorders. Our whole body gets tired because we are not supplying it by enough energy. Oxygen gives you energy. More than food does give you energy. So we eat a lot of food and we starve ourselves of oxygen, and we are killing ourselves that way with all kinds of mental and physical diseases.
So we get some more oxygen into our bodies to help burn that energy from the food.
Exactly. And not only burn that energy in the by the food, that extra oxygen that you supply yourself heals you. It heals your cells, repair themselves, and it reduces the damage that we have done already, and it prevents further damage. So you will stay healthier. Mind will be calm, head will be thinking clear, and you will be free of mental disease as well as physical disease.
Now, of course, I've stopped breathing deeply, as you've suggested here, after two or three breaths, in part because of the giddiness, in part not to overwhelm the microphone with my inhalations and exhalations. But because it's hard work too. This is not easy.
It's exercise.
It is exercise.
It is exercise. Yes.
Yeah.
But it is exercise that you can do in your hospital bed. It is that gentle. And yet the positivities of it outweigh if you are exercising physically. Not that you should give up physical exercise, but you should supplement that with this.
Physical exercise
and your life
breathing
will be totally, totally different.
So you're running these workshops on a weekly basis?
I run these workshops on the weekly basis every Monday, mm-hmm. From 7 to 8:30 in the evening.
Right. This is actually done through Civic Hub Online, isn't it?
It is done through Civic Hub Online, and people have been joining me from Ottawa, people have been joining me from Nova Scotia, people have been joining me from Toronto, all the areas. Okay. Only one person joins me from Kitchener-Waterloo.
And sadly, that has not been me as of yet. I'll put a link to your webinar information on our website for the show notes, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC. And hopefully you'll get some more people from the local area here to join you for the breathing workshop.
Lovely.
Tonight.
Thank you very much, Bob. I'll appreciate it. I have a capacity of 100, but I only get maybe 10 to 12 people.
All right. And there's one on tonight. Tonight.
No. And this week and next week, and there are no workshops because I'm making 6 presentations between now and next Monday at a conference called Up Convergence. And that conference started on last Saturday and continue until next Monday. And I have a lot of talking to do between now and then. That's why I had to cancel these 2 weeks.
So you're a bit busy at the moment with that and the workshop with the conference coming up.
And the conference is coming up on 26th of September.
That's right. So that's another couple of weeks.
Yeah. If people go to our website, on the very opening page, there's a poster and there is, you click on that poster, you will know more about the conference. Mm-hmm. And there's also a button that you can click to register. You register on Zoom itself. Right. Tell Zoom who you are, what is your email address, and they'll give you a link to join the conference. And the website is spiritualeducation.org. Yeah. Just go to the homepage of that, and you'll see the poster for the conference.
Right. Have a link to that on the show notes as well.
Thank you.
I think what I'd like to do is take a quick break, listen to a bit more music. Let's have a quick look. This is Jesse Cook. We're going to listen to Mario Takes a Walk. And when we come back, we'll bring Robin back on the phone again and find out all the work that she's been doing in the past, written many, many books. We'll chat with Robin after listening to Jesse Cook. Thank you. Jesse Cook, and A Walk for Mario. We have in the studio Shiv Talwar from the Spiritual Heritage Education Network and Lobner Brand Anders from, I'm not sure where
Wisconsin.
You're from.
Wisconsin.
from Wisconsin.
So not local. You're an international guest.
Well, yeah, actually I am, because my dad was in the Air Force, so I traveled all over the place.
You've got an incredible amount of material on your website. Books. Many, many books.
Well.
You're an author, obviously.
Yeah. Although it wasn't planned.
How did you get into that, then?
Well, my first book, I was actually married to an Episcopal priest. And I wasn't Episcopalian, but I've been raised Christian my whole life. And, you know, I always felt very close to God and the Spirit led me and all that. And they, you know, some of the members were saying, well, why aren't you joining the church? And I said, well, you know, I'm already baptized. I'm already Christian. Oh, yeah, you're not Episcopalian. So I decided, well, these people need to have their horizons broadened a little bit. So I started creating a world religions course for, adult education for the church members. And it took me 2 years of nonstop research all week long, and then once a week we had classes on the different faith practices and whatever, and at the end they said, oh my gosh, you have to publish these. It was just really fascinating. So that's how the first one happened, and the rest just kind of, you know, came afterwards for various reasons. But even with Shiv's book, you know, I swore I'd never write another book. It's very challenging and takes a lot of time, and it takes up your whole life if you're serious about it. And then when Shiv said, oh, yeah, I want you to write the student version of my book, I got pulled in again.
So, Shiv, how did you learn that Robin was able to do things like this?
We met at the Parliament of World Religions in Toronto, and we exchanged cards. And from her card, I knew she was an award-winning author. And after the conference, we got in touch via email. And I knew that she was an author. And I said, I'm trying to write. I'm struggling with writing my first book. And she said, she asked me what I was writing upon. And I said, that's spirituality. I said, can you send me a chapter? I sent her a chapter, and she said, well, send me more. And I sent her the whole manuscript, and she read it, and she said, hard to understand. You got to write it easier. I said, I can't. I can only write the language that I have. And that's how she got pulled in.
So it's hard enough to write a book when you have the ideas in your head. But here you are, Robin, you're writing a book with somebody else's ideas. That's got to be twice as hard.
Well, no, I mean, in fact, he didn't want me to put his name on the book, and I said, well, if you don't let me do that, I'm not going to publish it, because he provided the information. I basically just reformulated the phraseology so that it was a little bit more in line with the way people think and the way people read. And he didn't have to be a professor to understand, because the concepts are very powerful. So it was, he definitely wrote half my book, at least, because it was his information. And so that's why I insisted that he let me put his name on the front. And he said, oh, you drive a hard bargain. I didn't want my name on the book. It's your book. And I said, no. I'm not going to do it unless you let me put your name on it. So we did, and it turned out really well.
On the website, it says Unity and Diversity Curriculum Sample.
Yes. Well, that's one of the things that I mentioned earlier, is that we're trying to come up with a way to teach these concepts that are, you know, fairly scientific to somebody who's in fourth grade, for example. I mean, that's what we were told by somebody who understands looking over proposals for acceptance, and they said you got to keep it at a fourth grade reading level. And so if you go into the curriculum and look at it, hopefully it would give you a concept of what we're trying to teach in a format that is more understandable to a young person.
Right. So this is the book for the masses, and Shiv's book is more for those who intend to pass on the message to others. Is that correct?
Well, theoretically, we talked about it. We don't know how it'll end up, but we were thinking that Shiv's book would be for the teachers, the professors, and my book, not the sample curriculum, but my book would be more for maybe high school or university level students that really want to get into it deeply. The sample curriculum is more a way of touching young people in elementary levels, you know, to start teaching them these concepts while they're young.
Right. Get them while they're young so that they have these concepts with them throughout their entire lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, the way we are thinking, Bob, is that once some school system decides to teach this kind of a thing, then Robin would be the teacher trainer. She will train the teachers as to what kind of material. And once teachers have some sample of how to deliver this kind of a curriculum, then they will come up with different ideas of their own, because they are doing it every day. They're teaching every day. They'll make it even better, easier way of explaining the same things. So it's a process of development. It takes some time, and it takes different people putting in their minds. And so we want to get that ball rolling, you can say.
Right.
And once the ball is rolling, then its inertia will keep it rolling.
And that's sort of the thrust of the conference in the upcoming weeks.
Exactly.
It's to bring these ideas to other educators, pushing that ball uphill so that they can roll it downhill.
Well, it'll be downhill and uphill for them too, because we all need to make an effort. Any change requires an effort. You know that, Bob.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's very difficult to get people to change their behaviors, their ways of thinking, their views on how life actually is. It's stuff that people have grown up with. It's very ingrained in their minds.
Exactly. So. You took two deep breaths, and you know how it felt.
It changed me for those 2 minutes.
That is how difficult change is.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So the conference starts on Saturday the 26th.
Saturday the 26th at 10 o'clock. And you'll have to get the Zoom link from Zoom itself when you register.
I'll put that link on the show notes.
I think the link will be your personal link. You cannot share it with somebody. And that is what they're trying to control. They're trying to control the security.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking my link, but the link that gets you to the registration page.
It'll get you to the registration. And you share it with somebody, it will not necessarily get that person to the registration.
No, I'm not sharing my link. Yeah. That's private to me. Yeah. But I'll put the link that gets you to the page that lets you register.
That you will. And I will send it to you, or you can actually
it's right on your website.
Take it from the website.
Yeah.
You click on the register button on the opening page, and you'll be taken to that link.
Yeah. Right prominent at the very top of the page, free, click here to register. And I'll put that on the show notes as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Put a link to your website, Robin,
so that
we have all the information available to anybody.
Yeah, and the sample curriculum, like I said, it's PowerPoint slides, basically. It's nothing like a book. I'm imagining what a course in a fourth grade class might be, you know. And so it's totally separate from the books, but it is what we're trying to create by getting this proposal together to allow, our thoughts and ideas to get into a school system.
Right. Cheat notes for teachers.
Yeah.
But then the process of debriefing
can be taught to a three-year-old. And I have done that. I have actually taught young people. So you don't have to be a university professor to learn that. It can be learned by anybody.
Right. Quick recap of how to get a hold of you, Shiv. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you if they want more information?
Info@spiritualeducation.org.
Okay. So that'll go on the website as well.
That'll send info@spiritualeducation.org will send me a message from them.
Okay.
It's an easy email address to remember. Yep. info@spiritualeducation.org.
Right. You've got some other contact information on your website as well. How about you, Robin? What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you if they want more information about the work you do?
They can contact me on LinkedIn, or if they just want to email me directly, my email address is rockin-robin@msn.com.
Okay. You can stick that on there too, that people can get more information, and hopefully, you know, go out and buy a book or two.
Yeah,
that would be a nice thing. Any last words, Chef? What would you like to leave people thinking when the show is done for today?
I would want people to think of their children and grandchildren and think of whether you want them to live in harmony with the rest of the world. And if you do want to, to help them live in harmony with the rest of the world, then consider the ideas of re-envisioning education of the future. Mm-hmm. That will give them the tools to live in harmony.
Right. Now, the conference is aimed at educators.
At educators as well as parents and grandparents.
Okay.
Well, anybody who wants to learn, really.
All those people who are interested in education of the future, that they will promote harmony amongst people.
Right. So that's open to anybody that wants to accomplish that.
Anybody who wants to accomplish that would be welcome.
Shiv Talwar, thank you very much for coming into the studio. And Robin LeBron Anders, thank you very much for calling in from Wisconsin.
Enjoyed it.
We thank you, Bob, for the opportunity.
You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections. CKMS Community Connections is heard every Monday at 11 o'clock till noon. The executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producers are Dylan Bravener, Jeff Stager, and James Jordan, who comes out on Saturdays to give the second edition from noon to 1 o'clock. My name is Bob Jonkman. See you again next week. And the air hits you like a torpedo. As the gust comes you through like a tornado. Cosa bonita que yo Santa Maria. Ver el agua, la azul, la reina blanca, school. Mi encante que yo Santa Maria. Siempre habría la sola en las cervezas de acord. Hey, in Venom. As the darkness spreads over the causeway, oh, your heart skips a beat, it's not every day that your emotions collide, you're unguarded. And the chorus surrounds you like a garden. Cosa bonita. Que yo Santa Maria, ver el agua, la azul, la reina blanca, school. Mi encante que yo Santa Maria, siempre habría la sola en las cervezas de acord. Hey, en verano.
bonita que yo, Santa María. Ver el agua azul, la reina blanca, school. Me encanté que yo, Santa María. Siempre habría la sola más cerveza de cor. Cosa bonita que yo, Santa María. Ver el agua azul, la reina blanca, school. Me encanté que yo, Santa María. Siempre habría la sola más cerveza de cor.